redemption day for Daniel Ricciardo.
Champions are Manchester City.
Captain America. Catchers Augusta.
Golden State Warriors champions once again.
Record seventh Australian Open for Novak Djokovic.
Cross counters flying. The Blue Army have done it at last.
Machine has kicked a remarkable grand final goal.
Rolling out across Victoria, the Sport and Racing Breakfast made for Australia's greatest sporting state. Welcome to the Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Breakfast Club on RSN 927. Nice to be with you. The morning after, the night before the AFL season kicked off last night, and wasn't it jam-packed full of news? And, decent game of footy too to kick it off. After the start, which could have been anything, it was back in town for the Blues, but the Tigers too good and it run away victorious. Told you the line was easy money, 33 points, never in doubt. But a lot to talk about on the back of that as we build up to the rest of round one of the AFL. The Friday footy preview, it is back for 2019 on the Breakfast Club. And Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, the Kangaroos champion, is back again on the Breakfast Club. We're pumped about that. Looking forward to seeing the little man with the big footy brain. I like him. Busy sporting weekend coming up. Last day of the working week. It's always a good time to be alive. On a Friday, Adam White loves it more than any other man because he knows he can sit back on the couch if he wants to and just watch a smorgasbord of sporting activity across the globe. He'll do it again this weekend, I'm sure, to some degree. Whitey, good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, it's the night after the... Sorry, it's what is it? It's the morning after the night before. Pretty average game of footy last night, but obviously...
All right.
No, it wasn't. It was,
of course it was.
The game was killed after about 20 minutes.
Well, that's what made it good, that there was a contest after that, once they found,
yeah,
their, found their feet. What do you want, even Stevens all the way through? Is that what you think, that Australian rules football happens? That's how you think it unfolds. 4 points this way, 2 points that way, 4 points this way, 2 points that way.
No, but...
That's not the way it works, mate.
Richmond had the game won at quarter time, cooled their jets. Okay. Carlton showed good resilience to come back because I think maybe a Carlton team of the last 2 years may have been smashed by 80 points, but Richmond was never going to lose the game.
Well, there were moments.
But the big story is obviously Alex Rance and what that has on, you know, it has a huge impact on the entire season. And I must confess, when I got up this morning just to hear Damien Hardwick's comments, he kind of went to bed last night hoping that he might be okay. And it might be sort of a 6 to 8 week injury, but by the sounds of Damien Hardwick last night, they're preparing for the worst.
One man who knows the worst, he's been there. Adam Ramanaskas, Bombers champion these days, manager to the Stars, joins us again on a Friday morning. Morning, Rama.
Yeah, good morning. I half agree with Whitey. It was looking very dire for Carlton in that first quarter.
Oh, no doubt. There's no arguments from anyone on that.
A shocking start. They were like a kid on Christmas. They had all these new toys and... You know, they just wanted to play with every single one really, really quickly and, you know, not worry about and concentrate on the one thing. So they were fumbling, they were dropping marks, they were doing all sorts of things. And Richmond really capitalised early in that game. So to their credit, I thought their second and third quarters, they won. They won both of those quarters quite comfortably. And then I think just the class of Richmond came through in the end where it was an easy victory in the end. So heavy price, heavy, heavy price, five-time All-Australian. Hard to replace.
You're not easy to replace.
Especially a structural player.
Oh, yeah. See, Richmond, and Damien Hardwick spoke about this after the game. He said, we're a system-based team. Absolutely, they're a system-based team. But he is probably, in my opinion, the most important piece of that system.
He sits in the driver's seat of the system.
Yes. Yes. Because if you look at all of Richmond's dominance over the last 2 years, he is the only defender that's made it. Or has an All-Australian jacket.
Mm.
No other Richmond defender has that jacket, and he's the glue of that defence half. So we talk about goals that are kicked by forwards, and we're able to measure that quite comfortably, you know, 60, 70, 80 goals. How many goals does Alex Rance stop per year?
A fair few.
Yep. Okay, I haven't got a number for you, but let's just say it's a fair few. It is a massive story for the Tigers, and there's one thing they've had through this journey in the last couple of years where they've really started to dominate and be a successful team is the Fab Four standing up. It's been Riewoldt, Cochin, Martin, and Rance, all in the different areas of the ground, which makes it just even better from a structural perspective, as you're talking about.
They've missed two games in 4 years.
They've all been there on the deck.
And that's the key half, period. Is that not only do they stand up when they play, they always play.
Yeah.
Richmond have had a really good run with injuries over the last few years, and this is a huge test for them as a result.
Yep. It's a big, big blow. A suspected ACL, nothing obviously confirmed at the moment, but I must admit, seeing the replays, which they showed 1,000 times, last night, probably fair enough too, considering the magnitude of the impact it could have if it is the worst possible outcome. You could almost see one of the angles the tibia coming through the front of his leg, which suggests the ACL is absolutely snapped. That's what's keeping that in traction with the kneecap and the femur, the big bone at the top of your leg. You can almost see the bottom bone at the front of your leg almost coming through the skin. So that's... I reckon he's absolutely cooked it. And no, I'm not clearly a doctor or a surgeon.
You sound like
this segment brought to you by Dr. Daniel Hufford.
You look at it, you see it. You just see the knee coming through, and you're bloody hell, that's absolutely ruptured.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's too much hope for Alex Rance. And the way, as you said before, the Dimmer was speaking after the contest, and Alex Rance's body language post-match during the game when he was on the bench, he was bright and bubbly and put up a really strong front, which was admirable. Certainly the way he cheered on his teammates for the back end of that last quarter when he came back up the race or up the stairs. I think the way they spoke last night, they would suggest, that, or we would suggest, that they know.
Mm.
As far as all the tests before the official scans were done, they would know that it is going to be a massive, massive blow for the Tigers. So we're 33-point victors last night.
You were there last night. Tom Lynch?
Tick. Absolutely a tick.
How is he going to affect Jack Riewoldt?
Look, I think structurally, Tom will be the deepest player most often. I think last night he dropped a couple of marks that he usually gobbles. But what we've got to remember with him, he hasn't played football for 7 or 8 months. So I think in the next 4 weeks, he'll take those marks quite comfortably. With playing with Jack, Tom Lynch will have a lot more one-on-one contests himself. So there was a couple of times that they flew against each other. But I thought his movement was good. He was able to move up the ground when he needed to. He still had his speed. His hands were probably a touch off, but still to kick 3 goals, I thought it was a perfect return for him.
The two of Carlton's new midfielders, obviously Sam Walsh is one, but also Will Setterfield. How do you think
big
they
ticks,
went?
Big, big ticks. there was a passage of play where... who kicked the goal? I think it was Dale Thomas that kicked the goal in the end. But Setterfield... the ball came to him and it just looped, and Trent Cochin absolutely smashed him.
Yeah, it was sort of
smashed him in the contest. And I thought, oh, he's going to stay down here. He bounced back to his feet. He would have got instant respect from his teammates just with that one moment. He could have had 100 possessions in the game yesterday, but it didn't matter. That moment where he got smashed, got straight back to his feet, ball slips out to Dale Thomas, goal. You got to remember, Setterfield hasn't played football for 12 months either. He's coming off a knee reconstruction. He had 25 disposals last night. I thought looked really good. Another big-bodied midfielder, which, you know, you look at Paddy Cripps' game last night. Carlton now have two of those big, big balls. And then you throw in Sam Walsh, who I thought looked at ease out there last night. Just was able to run around. Got tired in the end. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But I think, again, as he picks up the pace of the game, he's going to be all silk, that kid.
And the view of the rule changes. How did, watching it there last night at the ground from the higher angle and, you know, for premiership points, did it feel different?
Yep. Look, I thought definitely the 666 made a difference. Richmond tried a couple of things. They had either Prestia or Lambert come off the back of the square, then Jaden's short start right on the corner.
Yep.
So he would, so short would drop back and take his opponent, and then Prestia and or Lambert would run in off the back of the square and just get a moment or a couple of minutes where they were playing as free midfielders, basically, so they were able to go and find the football. There was another occasion where I reckon Carlton won 2 or 3 centre clearances in a row, and you saw then Bashir Hooley start right on the 50-metre arc. He then rushes in, to try to close the front door because Cripps had got those centre clearances. So he left his opponent. So Richmond were effectively then playing 5-on-6 in their defensive unit, but closed that front door, whereas Carlton couldn't escape anymore with an easy clearance. So I think those were the two that I noticed quite clearly. There was a little bit of isolation of players in the goal square, a little bit of the 50 metre, but I didn't think that really came into it too much last night. So I didn't think it really had too much of an effect. The runners I didn't really notice at all, not being out there. The kick-ins I didn't really notice. I didn't think that had
didn't have much of an
effect.
Richmond defended the kick-ins really well. They had two on the 45 at the top of the goal square, and Carlton didn't want to take any risk with that, so they just went short, wide, often.
Richmond which got a plays bit more, into Richmond's hands.
Yeah, I was actually surprised there wasn't a bit more done there.
Yep.
But Richmond seemed to maximise the space given a fair bit more than the Blues did last night. Now, maybe that's the system the Blues want to go with. You just own the footy still out of the back third and just be really controlled and composed with that. Maybe that's their go. I'm not quite sure. Small sample size.
Richmond took their zone back 10 metres. So they forced then Carlton to kick wide and then they want to play in that 60 metre sort of oval.
There were a couple of opportunities for the Blues, particularly in the second half, if I remember correctly, were to ping the ball straight down the middle, but didn't even bother looking.
They played along the boundary
three players in the corridor.
Yeah.
Sitting on the arc and just didn't even bother looking. So would suggest that it's a clear plan to go wide, short and wide and own the footy out of the defensive 50 still.
The runners, obviously, the coaches still want them. We had a situation last night where it was sort of 4th-11 scoreboard type activity on the sidelines.
More effective than the $4,000 screen.
Yeah, that's right.
That weigh about 50 kilo.
At one point, it looked like there was some calisthenics done by the runners on the boundary doing all these sort of different moves, like the YMCA type situation.
YMCA is important. The M is a very important letter.
Do you think that they'll continue with that, or do you think you'll see quite a few different things trialled by different clubs over the next 4 or 5 weeks? Because there was a situation last night at one point where Dustin Martin couldn't get back on.
Yep.
And he was getting really angry about it. And I think the Tigers bench staff were thinking, well, hang on, we just got to get him on. And he's like he was waiting for the bus that was late.
Yep. Well, no doubt he was frustrated by that. I think Dustin, from the vision I saw, was probably the same vision. It wasn't two sets of vision out there last night, was it? That's just the way it's going to be, little darling. You're riding on the horses. But that's always been the case. There's always been situations where you haven't been able to get your players on because the ball's on the other side of the ground or whatever it might be. I think this time around, and actually in the end, once they get their heads around it and become familiar with it, with the system they're using, the soccer system, which is the number on, number off system that seems to be being used by certainly the clubs last night, I think players will learn to check more often and to make sure that they are aware of what's happening. So that'll just be a habit thing that'll creep into the game from the players' perspective. I think it'll be okay. No different to any other game where you...
It'll work itself out.
Players on the southern stand side for 8 minutes and you can't get your best player back on who's come off when it was on the member side.
And that's never changed.
Worked for West Coast last year.
I remember.
We had a grand final.
Yeah. No, but I remember...
Ball's on the other side, they can't get off.
I still remember when Collingwood was making 180 rotations a game that opposition teams were attacking the far side of the ground to stop them from being able to rotate as easily as they were. You know, those sort of tactics,
I found that
fascinating.
Yeah, but I didn't like that look of the game. Collingwood just making
ice hockey.
I didn't like that at all.
But I just wondered last night, again, it's only one game, but whether there will be less interchanges made as a result of this, where there'll be all this preoccupation with, you know, trying to get the rotations done, that at one point they go, you know what, we've got to stop worrying about this, we've just got to let them play. And I wonder whether the AFL sort of are hoping that that will actually happen.
Yeah, I'll find out the severity. Initial signs don't look too good, but I'm in a great team, got a great culture, and I don't have too much to be sad about. So, we'll see.
That's Alex Rance. You missed the story of the night. Looks like Alex is in trouble with his ACL. It looked very nasty last night. Went off the ground in the third term, and it didn't come back. And it looks like that the fears for his ACL are absolutely warranted. We'll find out more about that today, whether or not it's in fact ruptured, and that will be his season. What that does to the Tigers, I'd love to get Brent Harvey's opinion on that. The AFL Games record holder, the Kangas champ. He's back again for another big year. And this year as well, coaching the North Heidelberg Bulldogs. Boomer, good morning. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. Absolutely excited and looking forward to another big year here.
With us or with the doggies?
With both, half. With both.
My understanding
But I did mean in here first.
Your nickname around the Northern Football League is Stanley.
Stanley.
Stanley Knife.
I wonder where this is going.
Stanley Knife. You've knifed the coach. You've taken
Got rid
his
of
job.
Him.
Took him out, and now you are the big dog.
I can talk about him now. He's in Bali, so he won't even hear. It doesn't matter.
He listens on the app. He loves the program.
No, unfortunately, didn't take over on great circumstances. The coach had some personal issues and wanted some time off, and I stood in and said, yeah, I'll just train the boys until you get back, and he hasn't come back, has he? So, it's actually been quite good. I did a lot of it anyway, because when he was away with work, I could jump in and do some stuff, but it's been good. It's been really good. I've really enjoyed it so far. Probably because the games haven't started.
Yeah, they haven't lost the game yet. That's right. Wait till you start losing, have to drop a few blokes. They'll be coming.
Yeah, last night I got a practice game tomorrow, so I had to tell a couple of guys that played in the Magoos.
Is it true that Daniel sort of put his arm around you and said, look, as a mentor,
yes,
he'd like to just sort of teach you the art of coaching?
My first call was to the one and only Daniel Harford and say, can you mentor me? And he said, hey, absolutely. I'm flying. Have a look at me.
At a fee.
Cap on backwards.
At a fee.
Well, we got headphones on the boundary. His brother's involved with the slime, Greensboro. Yeah. So we slime. Might. I'm not sure if I can trust him fully just yet. We'll work that out.
Mate, I'm focused on you.
Okay.
I'm focused on the doggies. I want you to have success in 2019. Now, what did you make last night, Boomer? Firstly, before we get to that, the Alex Rance situation.
Yeah.
The impact that will have on Richmond, what do you think?
Has it come out? I know.
No, nothing's confirmed just yet.
If it's big news, it's bad news if it's going to be Rance out for the season, because what it does, I talk about the snowballing effect so often, and you look at one of the stats in the papers today, intercepts, 10 goals, 7 from intercepts, Richmond kicked. Carlton, on the other hand, was 5-5. Now, Richmond are high in this area because they zone off.
Yep.
Vlosten's good for a small. Asprey,
Grimes.
Rance Broad. Probably the best. Broad. Now, what that does for me, Rance goes out, especially with this new 6-6-6 rule.
Mm.
Now, Asprey and Grimes probably have to play a little bit tighter, which means Broad can't zone off that fourth forward where you can afford to zone off. So now it just snowballs and it all drops down. So for me, I think the snowballing effect is going to be the biggest thing for Richmond. Not only is he a great intercept player, he's a leader. He doesn't miss games. I think someone said he's missed 2 games from falling off his bike about 8 years ago or something like that. So it's huge. It's unbelievable. We don't want to see it to our good player. I shouldn't say that. We don't want to see it to anybody playing football. But I think this could be, if you're going to pick one player to go out of Richmond's team to hurt him, this could nearly be it.
All right, so let's cut to the chase. Can Richmond win the premiership without him?
You can't knock really good teams, and Richmond are really a really good team. Yes, they can, but it's going to be so much harder.
Rama?
I don't think they can. I think extremely difficult.
Nat Nui missed, and I know it's completely different, but Nat Nui is nearly their most important player at West Coast, and then you'd say Gaffey's out as well. Could West Coast win the flag last year? I would have been 100% no. And they did it.
Yeah.
Well, you reckon half?
I think they can. It's certainly going to make it a hell of a lot more challenging. There's such a good team. And as you said before, with what Damien Hardwick said after the game, they're a system-based team. Now, good players, great players, which I think Alex Rance is, in a system, make it a hell of a lot easier to execute. But if you have a system, and this is Alistair Clarkson's model from all these years as well, that we've got a plan and everyone knows their role and knows how to play their role. Some do it better because they're better players. That's just natural. But if you've got a system and people trust in it and understand it, then you can execute and you can achieve things. I think they can. It's certainly going to be a lot different because Rance is, as you said, Rama, or you did, Rama, an intercept player, but also just a key pillar in that
the leadership, back area of the ground. The leadership is the big thing that no one sees. We see the intercept marks. We see the kicks, the marks, the handballs. We see all that. It's the directional part of it that he sets up. He sets up last line a lot, so he just sees everything and can go
he's
left, right. Yeah, he's the goalkeeper, the wicketkeeper, whatever you want to call
and
it.
And I think that is the difference between, because you make a good point with Nat Nui and Gaff, but that is the difference that Nat Nui, he just goes around the ground and follows the footy.
Yep.
Gaff, similarly. But when you have a key defender who does almost play as an assistant coach as well in your defence, in organisation, as well as intercept. I think that's going to be the biggest issue.
On the very last line. So when we talk about zones in footy, we always say the person behind you is responsible for you because they can see more than what you can see. So they're saying, move to the left, 3 metres, stop. Yep, it's perfect. Rance does that nearly 100% of the game because his last line of defence.
And immediately, if you look at, say, a West Coast, they're the premiers, so they become the sort of the reference point. You take Rance out of that defence when you've got Darling, Kennedy, Vardy, you start thinking, oh, that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
That's right, and teams were playing differently against Richmond because of Rance.
Exactly right.
And that's to me is going to be the biggest difference.
Anyway.
What did you learn from the Blues last night, Boomer?
Well, I learned that they got a lot of good players and some new players as well into that lineup. And I look at Newman's new, Setterfield, who I was really impressed with last night as a tall midfielder. Looked like he had a fair bit of time and settle in. He'll only get better. Obviously, Sam Walsh, who we spoke about a lot last year, but he's just come in and looked like a ready-made player that's played, you know. What would you say, Whitey? It looks like he's played 60, 70 games already of football of where he's at. It's pretty cool to watch, actually. Then you got your big pillars in Mackay or Mackay, however you want to say it, and Wietering.
He's a Mackay.
He's a Mackay, is it?
He's a Mackay.
Okay, it's a Mackay. I should know that because he's twins at North Melbourne.
You should know.
You know what?
That's why Macca.
That's why I just call him Benny. And that's it. I think their midfield depth now is with Dowell and Fisher, Cripps. They're going to be very good. And I know, and I'll probably get knocked for saying it, but you take the first quarter out where it was 1 point to 5 goals for at quarter time, and Carlton are right in this contest. Mm. And the last quarter, you could just see them, and I think we're going to get this with a young team in Carlton, just falling off, and especially against Richmond, because Richmond were just, they were going again in the last quarter. I think it was 4-4 to 1-2 in the last quarter. And Richmond do that to a lot of teams, Rammer.
Yep.
But this time last year, that's an 80-point defeat for Carlton, and I thought they were pretty good.
So, Boomer, how long does it take for a team to learn to win? Because on paper, we say all those names and they look fantastic, but you still got to come together as a collective and learn to win. I still think it's above the shoulders with Carlton now. I think, yeah, you're right. They've got all the pieces in place, but now it's about having the confidence in each other and not playing as individuals to go and win games.
Yep, totally agree. I think 2019, Carlton are not going to make the finals. I think 2020, they're going to improve out of sight. And 2021, for me, Carlton start playing finals
football. Then what's a pass mark for you with Carlton in terms of wins this year?
I think somewhere around seven, I reckon they could nearly get to. I've looked at their fixture and I've got them at six or seven if things go really well for them. And if they play out of their skin, they could probably get the seven. They drop away a little bit at your four or five again, which would be disappointing with this group. But I think there's six or seven wins with them, no worries. But it's probably not about the wins and losses for me, Rama, or for anyone it shouldn't be. I think it's the development of the group and how quick, like you said, they can actually come together and actually gel. Yes, wins, you look at it, and that builds the winning culture, and we've both been involved with pretty good football teams. The culture is big, and the winning culture is big, but it shouldn't be just about that right now for them, I don't think.
Collingwood and Geelong, 750, check your local guides. New players for the Magpies, Dane Beams is back from the Brisbane Lions. Jordan Ruffhead, who I think will be an excellent money ball selection for them, comes in from the Bulldogs. And for the Cats, they've got a few floating around. Luke Delhouse from the Dogs, Tom Atkins, a Geelong VFL listed player who they've got a bit of an opinion of. Gary Rowan's come down from the Swans. Jordan Clark, 18-year-old from Claremont. Charlie Constable from Sandringham. And Grian Myers. Haven't come across too many Grians in my time, I must say. But I hope he can play for Cats fans tonight. Boomer, have you got a read on either of these teams from what you've seen?
Well, I think Collingwood will be... And I totally agree with you before I start with on Ruffhead. And this is... If Ruffhead played for Collingwood last year, they nearly win the flag. And people say, come on, he can't be the difference. On that day, absolutely, he could have been the difference because they were one tall short. So if he plays last year, they go a little bit further and probably be premiers. So I think he's a fantastic pickup. The money ball theory, I like it too. It's a really good theory. Beams is Beams. He's unbelievable. For him to slot back into a already formidable midfield, he's just to call that on, it's unbelievable. I think Pies are going to be there again. I really do. I think they'll make the grand final again, so I'm a really big fan of them. Geelong, just over that JLT period, I just really couldn't get a read on them. It was probably because they were wearing T-shirts while they were playing.
I like their jumpers.
I don't like them, but it just looks different for a game of football. I can't get a read on Geelong right now. I'm actually really excited for this game to sit back on the couch tonight and watch it and get a little bit more of an idea. They've got some really good ins. Young Clark looks like a real star of the future. Good to see, I hope I say it right, Radagalia. He looks like he's moving back to the way he was beforehand, and I think he straightens him up, and Tom Hawkins will certainly be a better player for him being in the team.
It's the subtle changes that I'm interested in tonight for both teams. If you look at Geelong, Dalhouse and Rowan come in. They're wanted forward pressure now for a long time, Geelong. So let's see if that works, if that creates more goals. I worry about where Geelong are going to get more goals, I think, Ablett this year. Well, yeah, look, Ablett is going to play as that permanent forward.
So Ablett goes from averaging, I don't know, let's just...
He averaged 28 possessions
and whatever it was in terms of goals. What does that drop to now? Just being a permanent forward, what's a... And I shouldn't say pass mark because he's a superstar, but what's that going to drop to, Ram? What do you see it?
I think he'll average about 20 and 2 goals a game this year.
Say 20 and you'll kick 44 goals.
Yep. That's what I think he'll be.
If that happens, that's a decent year.
So that's a fantastic year for him. But again... Is that what Geelong want? Do they want the goals or do they want the pressure?
They want both. Same as every coach.
I don't think Ablett's going to give you the pressure necessarily, but he's still... They're talking about him being a role player. Jeez, I'd love to have him as a role player in my team. That's a super role player.
So what do they want from Dalhouse?
Well, they want tackles.
They want
7 or 8 tackles a game out of him.
What does he need to kick in terms of goals?
A goal a game,
20-odd goals a year.
Yep. Yeah, and I think they'll be very happy.
But the 4 or 5 tackles is the one.
I think they'll want a goal and a half a game out of Gary Rowan, but at the same time, they can swing Gary Rowan. But Gary Rowan's not a big possession winner. He's only going to get you 7 or 8 possessions a game.
He's going to kick you 3 or 4 every now and then, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. So I'm fascinated from that angle with Geelong. With Collingwood, Jamie Elliott comes back into the team.
Yep.
Darcy Moore comes back into the team. How does that work? Collingwood's forward line was terrific last year. There was multiple goal kickers. Elliott's, for mine, when he's fit and firing, an absolute superstar of the competition. So he's fit, he's ready to go. But then Darcy Moore's the other one because they played small a lot last year as a defensive unit. Tom Langdon played as that taller type player when he clearly isn't. So how does that change the look of Collingwood? I think these two teams, particularly Collingwood, are going to be there towards the end of the season. Geelong, I think you can't deny them. You know, Dangerfield, Selwood, Tim Kelly, Duncan, they've still got the tools there to be a very, very good team. They're going to play their 8 games at Cadinia Park. They're going to win probably 8 of those games. So they only need to bank another 5 wins then to play finals.
You spoke about the back line and are they going to be too tall with Darcy Miller? I think they're still real versatile. Mm. Moore and Roughhead become the pillars. We've seen Jeremy Howell play on those small guys, but play on the tall guys as well because he's so good in the air. And then Langdon, who you mentioned, can play tall and did play tall in the grand final last year, or the final series, I should say. He can also play on the small. Yep. So I think the versatility there, Maynard and Crisp are probably the other two that plays on mediums or small. So I think the versatility there is okay in the back line. And like you mentioned, Elliott back in is a huge in because he's a 35-goal year player. He plays every game.
And the other one, Boomer, we speak about with Beams coming into the midfield and those options now that they have there. And we spoke about this a little bit yesterday about how Collingwood will manage that. And I made the point, and I'm interested in your views on this, is because they've got so much data coming back to them through their GPS units and how quick they're running, how far they're running, as soon as they drop under a certain threshold, that player will then get rested, a new player will go into the midfield. Because Collingwood, they love to play on turnover. They love to play transition football. So that's my opinion. Do you think that will be the case?
Rested? Yeah. I don't like that. I just don't see how players need a rest. It's unbelievable. But anyway... What they'll do, they'll get the 3/4 time, look at their GPS and just say, oh, I'll sit on the bench for this little last quarter so my loads are not so high. And I think their midfield is the best in the competition, Rama. I think their midfield is the...
It's hard to disagree.
It goes the deepest. Mm. So if they get a little injury to one or two players, they're going to be able to cover it. Who's not playing at the minute for one of the midfielders?
Adams.
They cover him because Beams just comes in and goes, rightio, no worries. Adams comes back in, you can have the versatility of them playing someone out in the wing, and that becomes in your midfield group as well as an outside player. I know Beams can play a little bit of both.
So by the end of the season last year, it was Sidebottom that most teams went after.
Yep.
Hutchings had a really good game on it. Yeah, I think Sidebottom had 14 possessions in the grand final. That was the lowest return for 5 years. Collingwood lose that game by the smallest of margins. Do you think that will continue, that teams will go after Sidebottom as the number one mid to stop for Collingwood?
I think they should, because I think he's an unbelievable player. And a little, I know we rate him very highly, but a lot of people underrate him. Mm. Coaches are starting to see now, when Collingwood win, he's the one. He's the one that stops. He gets all the outside ball. He has 35 touches, super endurance. Not only does he kick one or two, he sets him up as well. So he's kicking inside 50. He's a really left or right foot. So I think they do see that as the one they go after. Beams would be licking his lips. You think, oh, I'll go from Brisbane getting tagged every week. I'll just go to Collingwood because I'll tag Pendlebury. I'll tag Sidebottom. No wonder why he's coming home.
It's a good point. It's a good point. It's going to be an interesting clash for these two teams to kick off their campaigns. Why do you, who wins?
No, I'm pretty keen on Collingwood as one of the better bets of the weekend, to be honest. And the reason being is that the amount of debutants that Geelong are going to play tonight and a couple of new players to the system as well, I just think it will take them a while to bed down. And it's very rare to see a team beat a good team with so many players with no experience. And I think that's going to be the difference in the end.
Boomer?
Yeah, Pies for me.
Roma?
Yep, Pies.
It's a four-way sweep.
I'm confirming we've got six new faces. We've got 11 players playing round one that did not play round 23 last year. Makes it hard for Melbourne to predict what we're going to do. Because we don't know what we're going to do. But, you know, we've made some adjustments. You've seen us play through the JLT. Everyone, we were exposed a little bit. You know, we've scored a little bit freer. There's no doubt about that. We've conceded a little bit of score. But I feel like we've made some significant adjustments to game style. We've made significant adjustments to coaching panel. And we've made significant adjustments to the playing group. So we're expecting some newness about us come Saturday.
I reckon he's expecting some significant adjustments. Ken Hinckley, their coach of the Power, in the build-up to their clash tomorrow at the MCG against Melbourne. We're going to chat with Nathan Jones after 8 o'clock from the D's. 11 players that didn't play in the last round last season will be wearing the jumper for the Power first round this season. And Whitey's theory before the break, it's going to make it difficult for them to win if they've got so many new players into that system. Six of those first-timers as well. Zach Butters from Western Jets, that's right, correct, in the draftee. William Drew from North Ballarat. Xavier Dersmer from Gippsland. Connor Rosie, real talent from North Adelaide. Ryan Burton from the Hawks. And Scott Lysette, the big man from the West Coast Eagles. Robbie Gray plays 200 games this weekend. Well done to you, Robbie. Good luck. And for the Demons, Marty Hoare from the Magpies VFL team comes in with Corey Wagner from the Kangas. And Max Gawn, who we spoke to earlier in the week, plays game number 100. On Whitey's theory, Rama, is it a bridge too far for the Power to come to the MCG and defeat Melbourne with so many new players in this lineup?
Yep. Yeah, it is. It is. Look, I think Port Adelaide will be in that pack of sort of six teams that can push for those final couple of spots in the final eight, but it's going to be a tricky start. MCG against Melbourne. Look, you know, Melbourne should have... Oh, they should have a lot of venom in this year, particularly the way they performed in that prelim final. That a performance like that in a prelim final sticks with you for a long time. And you listened to Simon Goodwin talk about that over the summer. That wasn't Melbourne. That wasn't who he identifies as that football team. So I think it's a tricky start for Melbourne. There's no doubt about that, but I think it's a good start. It's a good hit out. You don't necessarily want to play a lower team early in the season. When you're at your fittest, which is obviously early in the season, you want to test yourself and see where you are as a playing group. So I think this is a tricky start for Melbourne, but a good start. They're gonna find out a little bit about themselves. I just think their midfield for mine can rival Collingwood. I think you look at Clayton Oliver, who is just a super player. Angus Brayshaw will improve again this year. If you look at his pre-season form,
he wins the Brownlow.
He's been brilliant. Jack Viney is almost a forgotten midfielder for Melbourne now, but you know, he comes in and plays a full season. You're going to see a very good player. Salem, very good player. Harms, he grew another leg last year the way he went about his football.
Do we see Petrarca head into
the
midfield?
I think we'll see a bit more. He might play 50-50, 50 midfield, 50 forward. So I think they bat deep, Boomer.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm glad you mentioned, Rama, the loss last year in that final. Everyone would look at the collective and say, oh, that wasn't Melbourne. What there is, there's personal pride there as well. Yeah. And there's a lot of players there who have walked away from that. And that word is probably the one you'd use. They walk away from that, take their boots off and go, that was embarrassing. Yep. Not as a collective, but as a personal brand. And that's a long 6 months. That pre-season, you get your 6 or 7, or I think it's 8 weeks off now that the boys get. Yep. And you just want to get back into it and you want to make amends. And this is the first opportunity, other than the JLT and the intra clubs and stuff. But right now, all that energy from last year, I hope the boys are thinking about that game last year and make sure they come out and fire. So I totally agree there.
What about Power? You've had a bit of a watch on the Power in the last couple of years.
Well, he's on their list management committee.
Yeah, I think he might be.
I think it's interesting with Port Adelaide that they've spoken about the fact that they need to be more offensive in the way that they play, more attacking, yet they've gone and lost a lot of players that give them that attack. And I'm talking about Polek, Pittard, and also
Wingard,
the Jad. So they were very dour last year, and I reckon they're going to make a dramatic change to the way they play, but with such an inexperienced team, I reckon they'll take a lot of time to get that happening.
If they want to play with more firepower, I don't know how with the personnel they got.
And don't underestimate the fact that Charlie Dixon isn't there.
That's right. Yeah.
So I think Melbourne will win this very easily.
The three that they brought in, those three young kids from the under-18s Connor Rose.
They're not goal kickers.
They're going to be very, very good players. Mm. When that is it in round one of their first season? Yeah. They're probably not going to be
they're all super talented.
I kind of feel that they're taking three steps back to go five steps forward, but it'll take some time.
Which they will, but you're right. They haven't the time. We all want the time to be now.
But have they got time, Whitey? Well, Travis Boak, Robbie Gray,
Tom Rockcliffe. I think it's a really interesting because they clearly went last year with, okay, we need to win it now, when they went and got the likes of Rockcliffe and Watts, etc. But it's almost like they put up their hand and say, you know what, it's not going to happen with this group. We've got to change. And change takes time.
Anyone tipping the Power?
Nope.
Wouldn't have thought so.
Not this week.
Adelaide Hawthorn tomorrow, 4:35 at the Adelaide Oval. Will be an interesting game. People expecting a bit from the Crows to rebound from last year's disaster to a finals performance in 2019. They host the Hawks. Chase Jones comes in for the Crows for his first game from Launceston. Jack Scrimshaw comes down from the Gold Coast and wears the brown and gold for the first time. Jarman Impey plays his 100th game of AFL football. Boomer, to you, Adelaide and Hawthorn, what are you expecting initially of these teams in 2019?
Yeah, look, I think Adelaide will be the big improvers this year. They had a lot of injuries to key personnel, and we talk about Rance being a big key, but when you take out your running halfback, Brody Smith, who's probably the best in the competition at the time he went down, I know Laird missed a little bit of football, Eddie Betts missed a little bit of football, who's the best small forward in the competition.
Walker wasn't fit last year.
Yeah, they just had a lot of things go wrong, and it was all together. I think there was one period where they had 6 or 7 senior boys out for 6 or 7 weeks, and they only won one game in that period. So I think that they will be the big improvers, and I'm really looking forward to, like, young Chase Jones, again, was lucky enough to work with him with the Australian Academy. Fantastic young kid. Great footballer, but just a great kid. Works super hard, so it's great to see him coming in on round one and get an opportunity as well. Hawthorn, on the other hand, I can't get a read on the Hawks. I don't know. Mitchell, the Brownlow medalist, goes down, breaks his leg, and he's out for the season pretty much. They're hard to replace. That is 35 possessions a week, and it's probably 2 or 3 goals every single week. I know he doesn't kick 2 or 3,
correct,
but his work inside that gets the ball out, it creates those goals, Ramo, as you mentioned. Yep. And I can't get a read on the Hawks. I don't know if they're going to be any good and they're going to show me up. I haven't got them in my 8, just to give you a little heads up. I don't know. They're probably going to embarrass me and finish in the top 4. But I can't get a read on the Hawks just yet. I need to give them 2 or 3 rounds.
So biased. What are you making of the Hawks?
I think they'll be fine. I think they'll, if they can split, say, 6-6 after 12, maybe 7-7 after 14, I think they'll be better the longer the season goes on. And, you know, I don't think they'll be beating Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval tomorrow night, but when they get Wingard in, when they get Scully in, when they start to find players to step up to try and fill the breach of Mitchell, I still think they'll be a good, solid team. If Mitchell was playing this year with the players they brought in, I would have had Hawthorn in my top 4.
Yeah, it makes a difference. But you're taking the best player
Yeah.
Out of you take Nate Fife out of Fremantle. Does it make a difference?
Yeah, exactly.
It's huge, isn't it? Who do you go after if you're Adelaide or you're Geelong or when you play Hawthorn? Who do you go after? Is it O'Meara now?
Well, it is, but I still think he's almost a new recruit for them this year.
Mm.
He's finally had his first preseason, and I think he has to lift. But if they can get some more out of the youngsters like Warple and Cousins and these guys, I still think Hawthorn is going to be a team that's going to be thereabouts. But whereas Adelaide, I've got Adelaide very high on my ladder. I think that they had so many contributing factors as to why they weren't the team they should have been last year. And I think they get a great chance to hit the ground running at home. Really hard to beat.
Who wins? Adelaide?
Adelaide easily.
Adelaide.
Crows. Bremer? Yeah, I reckon they'll sneak home too in a pretty tight encounter. But I'm a bit like you. I'm more bullish than perhaps some on the Hawks for 2019. Let's get to GWS and Essendon. Let's go to Sunday and have a bit of a look at that game in the Sydney Showgrounds. The Dylan Shield Cup is back against his old boys, first up in the black and the red sash. For the Giants, Jackson Hatley from the Central Districts will make his debut, as will Matthew Flynn from New South Wales ACT under-18s, even though he's 21. It's an interesting concept. Zach Clark for the Bombers coming across from Freo, and Dylan Shield, as I mentioned, from the Giants playing their first game for the red and the black. Boomer, the Giants? What do you make of the Giants? Where you got them this year?
I have the Giants sitting... Am I allowed to tell you now, or are you saying? No, I've got them finishing in the eight. I have got them finishing in the eight. I think they've still got a young list. Did I think they can win the flag? No, I don't. But I think they will still play finals football. Where's our man Kelly? Is
that injured?
Yeah. What's he done there?
No.
What's he done?
It's been a while. I haven't seen him.
No, he's got a knee problem, isn't he?
I think he was close.
Right. So okay.
I reckon he'll play next week
because he makes a huge difference. Nearly. You know, one of the best wingers in the competition, if not the best. And I just think he straightens them up a little bit and teams go after him. So that Coniglio and these type of guys get off the leash, Whitfield off halfback. I think Giants still play a really exciting brand of football. Whether that can stack up or not for 23 rounds plus finals, I'm not 100% sure. But they do play an exciting brand of football. And they played the team that probably plays the second most exciting brand of football when everybody's up and running in Fantasia and all these quick guys. So I think this is going to be an offensive game, and I'm really looking forward to this one. Where Essendon sit, I don't know, because I really rate Essendon towards the back of a couple of years ago, and I thought they were going to improve out of sight. And then last year, they just dropped off compared to where I thought they should have been.
Rama?
The interesting part for Essendon is when they swung Cale Hooker back last year, is when their whole system changed. Now, they were getting scored on easily. Cale Hooker is still one of the best contested marks in the game and was able to play on those big key forwards. So that allowed Hurley off the leash to get the football. So Essendon actually had no trouble scoring last year when Joe Danaher was out. They finished the season 10-4. So they were quite capable of scoring without him. But the part that worries me still is the continuity of not having those players play consistently and getting your best team out on the park so you can play with those players week in, week out. And so Hooker and Danaher are both, you won't see them in the first month of the season. So that allows opportunities for other players, but it still doesn't leave me feeling comfortable for the weeks after they return. Yep, they need to get off to a really fast start, Essendon. They need to win three of the first four games and then allow Hooker and Danaher to come back slowly into that team to make their way into the season. So I think it's a tricky start for the Bombers.
They're two pretty big ends, isn't it? They're the key pillars at each end. You've got your full forward and your full back.
Huge.
Now, I know we've got some other players, obviously, to come in and take this spot, but
it's just it's a continuity of the team. You look at Richmond over the last couple of years, their big guns don't miss.
Yep.
But and
it's
they win.
It's not just the continuity in playing, it's the continuity in training.
Spot on.
I think, you know, a lot of people had Essendon as a top 14 potentially. But through the preseason, Merritt spent a lot of time off the track.
Heppel. He had a bit of syndesmosis.
Yep. Heppel, Fantasia, Hooker.
Yep.
And then he comes back and gets injured. Danaher, he comes back, gets injured. So
unfortunately, the start of this season is going to define Essendon's whole year.
If they win a couple early ones, they'll go right towards the end.
They've got St Kilda and Brisbane in the first month. So I can't see them being any better than 2-2 and probably 3-3. They've just got to hold and not panic until they get their players.
Did they go out and get exactly what they needed in Dylan Shield?
I think they would have liked a little bit of a bigger body.
Yeah.
But I think
Ollie Wines.
If Dylan Shiel comes to the front door and knocks on it, you're letting him in.
I don't think he was the perfect player for them, but I think he was a very good player for them.
Yeah, he's an All-Australian. Come on.
Yeah. But I think the interesting thing for me with Shiel is going from... Because he was caught out on a wing a lot last year at the Giants because players were getting ahead of him. He now gets to play more inside. And
which is his strength.
Yeah, so I think you'll see him improve considerably.
Did they tag... Sorry, Half. Did they tag Shiel? Oh, no, North Melbourne did when we played him. Benny Jacobs did an amazing job on him. I can remember one game out there.
I think teams changed against GWS quite often.
Because
who they thought.
Kelly started playing some good football. Whitfield started running off halfback.
Yep.
It'd just be interesting to see if teams targeting.
No, I agree. I agree.
Teams targeted last year. They targeted Merritt a lot.
Yeah.
Well, if they start tagging Shiel,
Merritt's
off the chain. So one of them, no team goes in with two taggers anymore. So it's just the one. So one of them's going to get off the leash every week.
I actually watched them train yesterday, Essendon.
How'd they train?
I got frustrated watching them train. Oh.
Well, let's not go into it now. We're going to get another game.
The skill level is their issue, I reckon.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a setback. I'm not tipping them. I'm tipping the Giants in this one, by the way.
Yeah, I'm tipping the Giants, but I wasn't as confident with Kelly going out. It sort of unnerved me a little bit with the Giants. But as I said, with all those contributing factors with Essendon, I think it'll be a while before they play their best footy.
Rama, who you got?
Bombers just.
Oh, bye.
Just so 2 boys. Points.
So yeah, I'm actually with Bram. Bram. That's a captain. Bram. That's our Bram. Captain at North Otterburg, Bram. If you listen. Bram-y. Hello. Good morning, mate.
You clearly got distracted by the buds.
I'm with the Bombers as well. I think they'll just get over the line.
Right,
I really do.
2-2 split for the Giants hosting Essendon on Sunday. Before you get to that, I just want to have a quick chat. The music. Sorry, Kragos. Quick chat about the game Saturday night, Bulldogs-Sydney, just for Bulldogs. I think it's an interesting contest between two teams that I don't know what to make of in 2019. I must admit, I haven't got too much of a read on either of those teams. Duray comes from Hawthorn, Lloyd from Richmond, Bailey Smith, high draft pick from Sandringham. They'll debut for the Western Bulldogs. Ryan Clark comes from North Melbourne for the Swans, and Nick Blakey, father-son from John's Boy from the Eastern Suburbs, will debut as well. Have you got a read on either of these teams, Boomer?
I've got a read on Sydney. I think they'll be exactly the same as they have been in the last 12 years under John Longmire and that coaching style. I think we know the players. We know McVay, Grundy, Lloyd, Rampy. We know them. We know what Kennedy's going to do inside. Blakey. Blakey's
a
very good player.
They'll make the top eight then. Are they in your top eight?
No, wait.
We'll have to wait for that, Bram. and the Bulldogs, they're up and down. They're the team I don't know what to make of because, you know, you won the flag a couple of years ago and then you just fall out of nowhere. Norton's gone forward now. They're just changing things around for me and I can't get a read on them. I can't get a read on Sydney and I know what I'm going to get every week.
Grandma?
Yeah, I think Bulldogs are a tricky read.
Yeah.
I know opposition teams don't want to play them because they're such a high possession team. They've got a terrific midfield. There's no doubt about that, but it's a scoring power. You know, you can't have Bontempelli in two positions. You want to play him forward, but you need him in the midfield. You know, you want to play Toby McLean on the ball, but you need him as a forward. So they're a tricky read, the Bulldogs. Until I see some consistency in scoring, I think they'll have an up and down season.
I think I agree with everything you've just said, but I think also the worry with the Bulldogs is their defence. You put Norton down in the forward line, take him out of defence. I think it's a major issue.
Yep.
So I reckon they've got problems at both ends and they've lost Morris as well. So you look at this game and I agree, I think Sydney will be worried by the Dogs in the midfield, but Sydney won't have to do too much to kick a winning score against the way the Dogs play. So
they're very aggressive down back. Suckling, does he actually, no disrespect, is he a good defender or is he a great ball user? I know he's a great ball user. Does he defend really well?
Yeah, defends okay, reads the ball really well. I think that's his
because they've got Caleb Daniel down there. Now, I don't think...
He won't play there.
But it's for the ball use only. It's not really the defensive.
I've circled one player in this game, Sam Reed. Mm. The forgotten man for Sydney. Now, if Sydney are to hold their position in the eight, I think he needs to stand up and play really well for them.
Who wins?
Sydney.
Sydney.
Dogs.
Oh, Sydney for me. He's going to be four behind in the first round.
3-1 to Sydney Saturday night at Marvel Stadium.
The more the players get to play the game and the non-players get off the ground, the better. If you're watching EPL, which is and soccer in general, which is a very tactical game, if you had two non-players running in through those formations, people would think it was hilarious. But for some reason in AFL footy, we're okay with it. We won't be saying post-game that, you know, the runners cost us the game, because we've had enough time to prepare for it.
Brad Scott hates his runner. There's no doubt about that. That's effectively what he's saying. He likes the new rules that have been brought
Good
in about the runner. Supports the new concept. Good I knew you'd support that. Support.
You like concept. It,
Waddy? Don't want runners on the field.
Wait, water boys.
Hydration's important, mate.
Yeah, but then they'll start giving H2O. Messages to the water boys.
What happens anyway?
Yeah, I know. But they can only come out also during goals.
Yep. Just for that reason. Let's go through the rest of the tips for this weekend's games. We've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got 3 to go because we did one last night. Brisbane Lions and the West Coast at the Gabba tomorrow night. Whitey, we'll start with you.
West Coast.
Boomer.
The Eagles.
Tricky start for the Eagles, but I'll tip them.
St Kilda and Gold Coast. Keen to hear your take on this, Rammer. Marvel Stadium, Sunday.
Geez, they've got so many injuries already, the Saints. I'm going to tip Gold Coast in an upset.
Boomer?
Yeah, he's 5 down. I'm with the Saints, just purely on home ground advantage.
These buds are having a real impact on his footy tipping.
No doubt.
No, I'm with St Kilda, but, I mean, the injuries are an issue, but, you know. It is Gold Coast. They're going to
No, I'm changing that.
No!
Hang on.
No. I'm on St Kilda. First St Kilda, sorry.
What have you looked at? What have you looked at in the paper?
They've got about 28 new players playing.
Is that what you looked at?
Yes.
Because the list is there. It's a big, big list.
Oh, long list.
Can you do that, Waddy? I'm just want to throw it out there.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I don't think Dan Hanbury's going to play until about the halfway point of the season.
Halfway is a long way away. That's a concern for them. And the only other game, I'm St Kilda, by the way. 3 hour north on Sunday, the last game at Perth Stadium.
This is tough.
Rammer.
I
don't think it's very tough.
Fremantle.
Fremantle for Rammer.
Kangas.
Yes.
I'm with Fremantle at home.
I'm with the Kangas.
Ooh. This is a big game for North Melbourne.
I reckon they're huge. A decent team, the Kangas. Oh, they will be okay. So 2-2 split to finish it off. Right, let's get your top eights. Rammer, you give us your top eight, then we'll get Boomers.
Okay, my premier will be Melbourne.
Oh, no, nice.
So my top eight will be Melbourne, West Coast, Adelaide, Collingwood, GWS, Essendon, Richmond, Geelong, with North Melbourne and Sydney just missing.
Ooh. And Hawthorn.
And Hawthorn, yeah, okay.
Boomer, your top eight, please.
I'm going with West Coast, Collingwood, Richmond in third, Melbourne, GWS, Adelaide Crows. Oh, Kangas are eighth. I'll put them eighth. They're going to sneak in. And now I've just got to pick one between Essendon, Port, Geelong or Sydney. And I'm going to go with Essendon.
Yes.
All right. Whitey?
My top eight, West Coast, Adelaide, Melbourne, Collingwood, Richmond, GWS, Hawthorn, Geelong, and my premier is Melbourne to beat West Coast in the grand final.
Who's your premier, Boomer?
I didn't give you one. I think Collingwood will win the flag.
Righto.
And I've left out Sydney, which sits really uncomfortably.
Yeah, I'm with you, Whitey.
But you can't have them all.
Can't have them all. There's only 8 spots for 18 teams. I've got West Coast, Melbourne, Collingwood, Adelaide, Richmond, GWS, Hawthorn and North Melbourne. That is your
North
eight.
Melbourne?
Yeah, I've got the North Kangas sneaking into 8th.
100%.
Got a good draw. Added some real quality. I think they will be very good and West Coast will go back to
What about Brownlow?
Angus Brayshaw.
Angus Brayshaw?
Clayton Oliver.
Ooh.
If Carlton wins 7 games, Patrick Cripps.
Yeah, good call.
It's not a bad call, that.
I'm going with Nathan Fife with Isaac Heaney as my outsider.
No, can't win it.
Right, good. We'll pop this up on Facebook and Twitter. By the way, we've got a poll at the moment on the Facebook page, RSN Racing and Sport. If Rance has done his ACL, can they win the flag, the Tigers? 61% say no at the moment, 39% say yes. Some comments as well. So check the Facebook page for more details on that. Let's get to the Friday face-off. Straight out disposals tonight, Collingwood and Geelong, some of the best midfielders in the game playing in this contest. So straight out disposals is the way to play it. And we are playing for... 4 tickets to the Peninsula Picnic on Saturday, 30th of March at Mornington Racecourse. It's a great day. Get your friends together. Pack your rug of the picnic variety, not just one for your head, and have your dancing shoes at the ready. Peninsula Picnic
returns with an impressive lineup and a menu showcasing the region's best local food and wine. Book your tickets at peninsulapicnic.com.au, but you get them free, four tickets if you win the Friday face-off, plus a round of golf for four at the Warragul Country Club and a dozen Callaway Chrome Soft golf balls. What we're going to do...
It's a prize up. Pack.
It is a prize pack.
Yes. What are we going to do?
You, because you won the All-Star Mile last week.
What did
you
I
broke win? A 52-week drought.
Excuse me? Did I?
All-Star Mile.
Did I? I won. Yes.
You won. First time 52 weeks.
Correct. Week
yeah,
drought.
It's not,
correct.
Not common.
No, it's correct.
Not common. So you're going to go last. It's going to make it hard for you. So, okay. Boomer, as our special guest and the game's record holder, you have some opportunities as a result of that.
Okay.
You get first crack at the Friday face-off at on the back of it.
Oh, I did laugh at Rama then to break a 52-week drought. But to be fair, Rama, I wasn't much better than you last year. So I think I only got you by one or two maybe. So chance. I am really confident and I'm really happy for Wes Arnold from, is it Alfredton?
Alfredton,
where's
yep.
that?
Yep. Don't know where Alfredton is, but Wes is from there. He's having a great time.
Yeah, and I'm happy for Wes because we're going to get our first win in round one and we're going with Dane Beams.
Dane Beams, most disposal near Ballarat, where Alfredton, I'm being told, by the way. Dane Beams for Wes. Good luck to you. Whitey, you can go second.
Oh, thank you very much, and I'll take Patrick Dangerfield. So, Gavin Jockley from Geelong, we are going to be winning first up.
And you know he's playing forward all night.
No,
just
he's not.
Out there.
No, he's not.
He will be. I get to go next for Darren Baker from Katanga. Don't know where Katanga is either. Where's Katanga? Shep near Shep? Somewhere near Shep?
It's a very, very nice part of the world.
I've never been to Katanga.
Yeah. Isn't there an ad? Kevin Hicks.
Kevin Hicks was there.
Yeah, that's right. That's from Katanga.
It is too. You heard it somewhere. Kevin Hicks was there. Say good day to Kevin for me, Daz, when you're popping past next time out. But you will be celebrating as you do that and saying or giving a big high five to Kev, because Steel Sidebottom will start the season like he finishes every game with 35 okay. and be victorious in most disposals tonight. Ramo?
I am playing for Warren Pringle from Ocean Grove, and I will take Adam Treloar.
Oh, I forgot about him. He wasn't Adam on my Treloar. List. I had a list of six. He wasn't on it.
I've seen you slowly crossing them off too, and Beams was down the bottom of it. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's a bad thing.
What did Luffy say?
Check your mobile phone. Good stuff, Boomer. Great to have you back with us in 2019 on the Friday Footy Preview. Well, who are you playing tomorrow, by the way?
We play against one of my old teammates, Digby Morrell.
Diggers.
Pasco Vale.
Yeah.
Come on, your old teammates too.
Yeah. Yep. My word he was.
Oh, yeah, Pasco Vale. So we'll down at the kennel though, so it's good to be home.
We think we've got his loads right, and you know, he's raring to go. He hasn't been in this position to start a season this shape for a long time. All had their eye on their preparation about being ready for round one. So now they had a really good hit out in the VFL 2 weeks ago. They had another great match simulation last Friday. So those guys are ready to go and looking forward to seeing them perform. Expectations healthy. You know, I think we all would like to be in that position, but we certainly know the work ahead of us.
Simon Goodwin, that is the voice of the Melbourne coach. He's talking about the fitness and the form of Jake Melksham, Jack Viney, and our next guest, Nathan Jones, who is basically the heart and soul, as far as we're concerned, of the Melbourne Football Club. He's getting ready for another big season. He joins us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Nathan.
Morning, boys. Good to be back. It's been a while.
No, we know, mate. You've been doing other stuff for a little while, a couple of months, and just off and preparing for another big season. We let you sit, but now we want a piece of you. Are you excited about tomorrow?
Yeah, I am. I am. I've been enjoying my footy in particular over the last couple of years more than ever. And, you know, this year's preparation and year ahead, I'm pretty optimistic and more excited than ever. I can't wait.
Is there an edge? We were discussing this before in the build-up. We're just going through the games for the round. And Ramo was talking about the Demons perhaps having an edge or should have an edge on, after what happened last year. Is there an edge or is there an understanding of perhaps you weren't quite ready and another year in the system might help you get through?
It's probably hard to say. You know, I think we didn't really use it as a motivating factor. You know, we probably addressed it really early in the preseason, and that's what happened in the prelim final is what I'm alluding to. But yeah. You know, I think we're also under no illusions that we still have to get better. For us to take another step, we have to improve incrementally and across all phases of our game. So that's probably been the more sort of global focus for the group, is just to continue to work hard, continue to put your head down and bum up. That's got us into the position we got to last year, and still find ways to, you know, gain 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, 5% improvement in different areas. And that's where we're going to get that, I guess, the next step from. So, Sure, I think individually players will be driven by the emotion of and disappointment of what happened. But overall, you know, I think it's a new season, a new dawn, and you know, and another year for us to take another step forward through just by improving and persisting.
Because it's an interesting discussion, Nathan. Because you can look at it by focusing on the last game, but you can look at it the other way as well, is that you're going into a pre-season off the back of being part of a good team, and that the confidence of the entire season versus isolating one game. I'm just interested in your views as a senior player of coming off that good year, of how different the pre-season was.
Look, it's pretty similar, to be honest. When you think back a couple of years ago, we had the disappointment of just missing out on finals, and a lot of people are like, oh, did that Collingwood game, the final game of that season, drive you? And it's, I think what you've got to do, particularly in this game, is, you know, I guess block out some of or all of the opinion that's sort of, I guess, blowing on around you, and just focusing on keeping things in perspective. And that was no different last year. You know, we could get caught up in the emotion of what happened in the prelim and not making it all the way through, or we could look at the season from a whole and acknowledge the fact that we made significant inroads and be very clear on where we're at in our journey, and then get to work. And I think that's what we did. You know, we got to work over summer. We know the areas that we've got to improve, and we know we've got to continue to even, you know, enhance some of our strengths as well. So I think that's more the mentality we went with, rather than getting drawn into the emotion and,
yep,
and particularly the disappointment.
Nate, with performance comes expectation. One, how did you guard against expectation through a pre-season? And then who were the drivers when you talk about, you know, gaining that extra 1% or 2% through a pre-season that really, you know, drove the group along and said, you know, yep, we're a good team now, but we want to be a great team?
I think part of that is embracing it, really. You know, when you become a side that is consistent and is improving and people are starting to recognise you, obviously it comes with expectation. I think you can't shy away from that. I think you've got to embrace that. And that's what we did over the summer. We're under no illusions. You know, there's a greater microscope. You know, the losses are, I guess, magnified even more, and the wins are magnified even more. But I think that's the beauty of it. And I think what happens is, you know, the senior players and even across the group, it's driven about just keeping things in perspective and, I guess, you know, dealing with, you know, wins and losses on a more even and balanced keel week to week, and recognising that, you know, when we lose, there's opportunities for us to learn and get better, and when we win, you know, there's still opportunities for us to learn and get better. But we've also got to enjoy and acknowledge the fact that we were pretty good on that day. So, you know, I think it's an interesting one. It's going to be a challenge for us, no doubt. But you know, I think this group's ready for that. You know, we've been putting in a lot of foundations of hard work over the last probably 4 or 5 years to be in a position that we're in now, and we're excited about the opportunity that's ahead and look forward to that and want to embrace all the challenges that come with that as an entire footy club.
The coach signed a 3-year extension during the week. You've had a number of coaches through your time at the D's. Why is he different? Why is he different? You seem to have an humble... I saw the embrace with him when you found out that he signed. Why is he different, and why does he have such a strong relationship with the playing group and yourself personally?
Oh, I think it's pretty obvious if you get to experience, even if, as you saw, with the little bit of vision that the club put out. I think it's for Goody, it's all about relationships, and the fact that he invests and cares about every one of his players and their story and, you know, where they've come from and what their journey is. I think that's the core of how he coaches, and I think that's why he's so adored by the playing group, and because he invests in that and he values that, and it's the connection, you know, that human connection that he really drives, and I guess when you have that trust amongst the playing group, you know, we'd do anything for him, and it's I think that's the real difference. It's I think Roosie sort of exposed me to that from a coaching point of view. And I think Goody's just taken that to a whole new level. And you know, there's no, I guess, secret to it really. It's he puts in and gets back what he puts in, and he invests in his players and invests in the club's people, and that's why we love him.
So yourself and Jordan Lewis are the elder statesmen on that list. Does he come to you often and want to talk to you, you know, about what we should do here, how we should handle this situation? Is he very much a, does he let the players drive the agenda, or does he put the agenda on the table and then allow you to drive it from there?
No, it's very much player driven. You know, I think that's the other thing. A lot of the responsibility lies with the leadership group and I guess the playing group as a whole. You know, he values everyone's opinion and everyone's view, and you know, from there, obviously, he formulates his own perspective and own views and the direction we want to go. But there's no doubt that he you know, takes on board what particularly, you know, the senior players' leadership group think, but I think all players think. And you know, I think he's a real players' coach, and you know, we drive the environment, but in saying that, I think he's all-encompassing, and there's no separation between, you know, players v. coaches or staff v. coaches v. players. It's just everyone in the footy department and the Melbourne Football Club as a whole is all on one page, and we all work together for the same goal. And, you know, whether that be the boot studder or Goody, you know, I guess everyone has a role to play in the team performing on the weekend, and you know, you commit and buy into that, putting the team first. And you give your best effort in whatever your role is. I think that's the way forward, and that's probably sort of what he pushes and values most.
So what about your role for this year? Because at times last year you're sort of out on the wing a bit more, and your midfield's getting better and all the time and thicker all the time. So many options through there. Do you know what your role's going to be? Is it going to change through the course of the season?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt in that. I think when you get to, I guess, my stage in your career, you've got to be adaptable. And in saying that, I think, you know, Goody really pushes players to have multiple strings to their bow. So over the last couple of years, I've really worked on, you know, I guess, exposing myself to different positions and opportunities. As you said, I spend a bit more time on the wing. I've spent some time at half back. May even find myself at half forward. Still being able to use some of my strengths around the midfield, but I think that's the beauty of when your side becomes, you know, pretty deep with talent, and in particular in our midfield, you know, we're going to need guys to be able to play multiple roles rather than, you know, just fill the spots of inside midfielders. So, you know, we've got a lot of guys that can play through there, but we've also, those guys have also been working on, you know, being pretty adaptable and being able to find, you know, some varying positions and you know, create some variation for the team and give the group different looks. I guess for me personally, I will probably spend some more time on the wing this year. I tended to do that particularly towards the end of last year, but, you know, it'll change week to week, and that excites me. I look forward to that challenge. I think, you know, I couldn't be more motivated about the opportunity of actually playing a variety of roles, and whatever's most important for the team for that week is, you know, what I'll do, and, you know, it's what all our boys will do.
It's all very well and good, that sort of stuff, Jonesy, but have you finished the reno yet?
Of course I have. Oh, mate, that took forever, but we got there in the end, and, it was a great experience, and we're enjoying it at the moment. The kids love the pool, and, that's the main thing. I guess the reward for effort has come back in spades, seeing how much fun and joy the kids have and how many good times we have as a family in the house.
On the block next year, or it's a couple of years away?
Well, maybe not next year, but when I finish.
That's right.
Plenty of life left in you, mate. Good fun at home, good fun at work as well with Melbourne. It's a great watch, I reckon, this year with you guys. We look forward to seeing you in action tomorrow at the G. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.